This is Stuart Allen speaking from Wilson Street Chapel, London, and continuing our study in the outworking of God's purpose in connection with his kingdom, the kingdom of God. Now we have seen that the major prophets are dealing with two phases of Israel's experience. One is God's warning to them for chastisement and judgment and chastening and discipline if they forsake his truth and go away from him. But it's not all dark. If that is true, there's coming a time for restoration. Not because they are better than anybody else or they're God's favorites, but because God has made unconditional promises to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if this wasn't so, then he would have to break them. And that's one thing God cannot do, is to break his word. And so in this study, I want us to look at what the Old Testament tells us about the restoration of this people after judgment. Before we do so, we might just consider very briefly two differing interpretations of this. There are some who say that all these prophecies which deal with the restoration of Israel have already been fulfilled. And they were fulfilled after the 70 years captivity in Babylon. God had warned them that if they persistently rejected the message through the prophets and through the priests, that he would allow Nebuchadnezzar to come and take them captive and destroy their city and their temple, and that is exactly what did happen. And then, after the 70 years captivity, God raised up and worked in a marvelous way for their restoration back to the land under Ezra, Nehemiah. Now, the theory is that all those prophecies were fulfilled when the nation was brought back under this restoration of Cyrus. Now we shall find that when we look at the Old Testament prophecies dealing with this, that that's impossible. Because one thing, God keeps reiterating, that when he actually does this, Israel will never be moved again from the land. When I put you there, God says in effect, no one's ever going to turn you out. And of course we know only too well the Jew has not been in his land for 1900 years, and even now he only has a very small part of it, the land promised to Abraham. So we cannot accept that. The other is, of course, the spiritualizing method, which alas is so prominent in some departments of the evangelical world, in which, of course, they will tell you that you've got to transfer all these blessings from literal Israel to the church. And so when God blesses the church and when he builds it up, this is really fulfilling his word concerning the restoration of Israel. Well, you know quite well where we stand in this witness, that we cannot interpret the word of God in that fashion, that God must mean what he says, and this idea of spiritualizing as a system of interpretation is absolutely wrong, and it leads to such conflicting conclusions. If all these people that did this would only agree amongst themselves as to how you're going to spiritualize it and what you're going to turn it into if it's not the literal Israel. But of course, that is just what doesn't happen. Now this time we really are going to delve into the Old Testament and do some scriptural searching. And I don't think any one of us ought to complain about that. Because you certainly don't want to accept anything because I say it or because the movement I belong to says it. You want to have your faith in what God has written. And all I can do is to point out what God has said. Now, the basis for the regathering of Israel after judgment is not in the prophets. It goes right back to the Pentateuch in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 30, the whole of this long chapter should be read. But, of course, we haven't time to read it through. All we can do is to point out that the opening verses see Israel among all the nations. Verse 1, where God has driven them in judgment. God said he would do that. He would scatter them out of the land, and that was true. And then, when they shall return, or turn their hearts to the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice, according to all I command thee this day, verse 3, that the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, and have compassion upon thee, and will return. Here's almost a reference, the second advent of Christ. He's coming back. and gather thee from all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the utmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee. He's going to do the gathering, look. Now, when God gathers, when God scatters, when God gathers, who's going to interfere? Who's going to say no? He scatters, yes, and warning, but God says, I'm going to gather as well. There's a little verse in Jeremiah, which we'll look at presently, but it's so concise and sums this up so beautifully. He that scattered Israel will gather him. Now, you couldn't have any more simple than that. And that is really what all this is about. Who scattered Israel? Well, God did. No one can argue about that. Well, then he'll gather Israel. He that scattered Israel will not let that be the end of things. He will regather that nation. And even though they've got to the uttermost parts of heaven, God is going to find them. God is going to fetch them. And he's going to bring them back. And the Lord thy God, verse 5, will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed. Now, can you spiritualize that? The land which Abraham possessed and Isaac and Jacob, the fathers, can only be a literal piece of land. They had their tents in it. They moved in it. God said to Abraham, rise, walk in the length of it and the breadth of it. I don't know whether you can do that in the spiritual dimension. This is the land, the literal piece of land which God promised to the fathers. And he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers, and so on. So here's a basis then, which God definitely says that he will do the gathering at a certain time when this nation, after being in captivity, scattered all over the globe, will one day turn to the Lord. And they're going to do that. But other scriptures make it abundantly plain that they'll never do that without some cataclysmic piece of work on the part of God. And that tremendous piece of work is nothing less than the return of their Redeemer and Saviour and King, the second advent of Christ. Then they're going to turn to him when they look on him whom they've pierced. It will need nothing less than the returning Christ to break down the unbelieving heart of this nation, so hard in their unbelief and rejection of God. Now, let's go to the prophets and start looking at this for ourselves. We'll go to the evangelical prophet, Isaiah, chapter 11. And I think everybody realizes that chapter 11 is one of the great kingdom chapters, the millennium, when the wolf and the cow and the bear shall feed, verse 7, the wolf, verse 6, shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and so on. They shall not hurt, verse 9, or destroy in all my holy mountain. Note, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And so even if you spiritualize the first part about the leopard and the lamb, you can't spiritualize this. There's going to be worldwide knowledge of God. Now I ask you, has there ever been a worldwide knowledge of God? The answer is no. With all the missionary effort that's been made in this so-called Christian dispensation, there are still millions in this earth that have never heard of the Bible and never heard of Christ. Now God says this will be completely reversed. The earth is going to be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now note verse 11. And it shall come to pass in that day, note the time, because God's prophecies are specific in their dating and in their timing, that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time. He's done it once to do this from Egypt. He's going to do it again, look, the second time, to recover the remnant of his people, which will be left from Assyria and from Egypt. All the nations round about, look. Verse 12, he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. So, here we find God doing it, God gathering the Jew who scattered all over the earth. Now let's come down to the 43rd chapter. Isaiah chapter 43. Verse, or you ought to read the beginning. This is a marvelous word concerning Jacob. Verse 1, that's the people of Israel. Oh, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Oh, lovely words. And God talks about his love for this people. Yea, he loved the people. I read in the Pentateuch, and that's the people of Israel. It can't be put to anybody else. We know he loves the church. We know he loves you and me, but he loves this people as well. Now then, verse 5, fear not, for I am with thee, and of thee is Jacob, Israel. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Note this phrase keeps coming in. God's going to gather from the uttermost parts of the earth. It doesn't matter where they are. North, south, east, or west. God says, I will gather them. Chapter 54. Verse 6. For the Lord hath called thee, and thee is Israel, as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. Look at that. For a small moment. Friends, that small moment has lasted nearly 2,000 years. God says, as far as the future is concerned, it'll be just like a tiny moment of time. But I'm going to gather you after that. He's forsaken them for the moment, that's to say, externally. They're not his people. You shall not be my people. I will not be your God. But that's only temporary. In a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment. Again. Only a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. And then he even refers to the fact he made a promise to Noah that he would never drown the earth by a flood again. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. That's what God says. Just as I've made this promise, and I'm going to keep it, that never, with all the judgments that are coming on this earth, will I ever drown mankind again. For I've sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth. So have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. We'll read the whole of the chapter, and you'll see how God is turning into love and regathering this people. Now we'll turn to the next prophet, Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. This is the verse I was referring to a moment ago, but keep this one in mind, for this sums it up so beautifully. Verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, this is the Gentile world. Let the whole Gentile world know this and tell everybody about it. He that scattered Israel will gather him and guard him, keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. Why? Because the Lord hath redeemed Jacob. Because he saved them. And the very one who came and died on Calvary's cross, never forget, he died for his earthly people as much as for his heavenly people. He's redeemed them by his precious blood. That's what the new covenant God makes with Israel and Judah is all about. He's going to redeem them in just the same way as he has redeemed you and me. 32nd chapter. 32nd chapter. And verse 37. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whither I have driven them in mine anger, and in my fury, and in my great wrath, and I will bring them again unto this place, and will cause them to dwell safely, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart. Now here's the new covenant, here's the new heart that God is going to give, when God writes his law in their heart, taking away the hard heart, the unbelieving heart, the stony heart, as Ezekiel tells us. One way that they may fear me, note, forever, for the good of them, and of the children after them. Verse 41, yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly.
The land that Jeremiah was talking about was the land of Palestine.
In this land, assuredly, with my whole heart, and with my whole soul. This is God talking. I'm going to do this with my whole heart and with my whole soul.
Now, there are other passages. I'm only just taking representative ones.
But I suppose of all the prophets that deal with this subject, Ezekiel is the one probably says the most about it. Now, let's turn to Ezekiel. Let's go to chapter 39.
Ezekiel chapter 39 and verse 24. We ought to go possibly to the previous verse, and all the heathen, the nations shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespass against me. Therefore I hid my face from them. This is the discipline that God said he'd surely do to this people, and gave them into the hands of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. According to their uncleanness, according to their transgressions, have I done unto them and hid my face from them. Now, look at the opposite. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, now I will bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. Verse 27, when I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' hands, lands, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then they shall know that I am Jehovah their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen or the nations. But I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them. Note, this is the final restoration. Look, I'll never hide my face from them again, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. Go back to chapter 20. Chapter 20. Verse 34. I will bring you out from the people, and will gather you out of all the countries wherein you are scattered, with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with fury pour out. This is the book of the Revelation, of course, with the trumpets and the vial, the tremendous judgments of the end time. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you, face to face. And there's going to be a sorting out, first of all. Let nobody think that anybody that calls themselves a Jew is going to get in. Oh, God says, I've got to sort you out. I've got to get the wheat and the tares all sifted out. But the true seed, the real seed, definitely God says he's going to gather again and bring again. Verse 41, I will accept you with your sweet savour when I bring you out from the people and gather you out from the countries wherein you have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall bring you into the land of Israel. See, the land of Israel, the literal land. Into the country for which I lifted up mine hand to give it to your fathers. The literal piece of land given to the fathers. Ezekiel 28. 28th chapter. And verse 25. Thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, the Gentiles, or nations, then shall they dwell in the land that I have given to my servant Jacob. They shall dwell safely therein. All note these prophets are going to say the Jew is going to live there without any possibility of ever being attacked. Oh, look at the difference today. The poor Jew, living in their land, not knowing what one day is going to bring forward. They've got to just live with their rifles by their sides. Now God says, I'm going to stop all that.
When I really bring them back into their land, they're going to dwell none making them afraid. They're going to be absolutely safe. That's never happened yet, you see. So if God's word is true, this has yet got to happen in the future. Chapter 34. Chapter 34, verse 12. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will search my sheep and will seek them out. Verse 13. I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and bring them into their own land and feed them. And the word means to feed like a shepherd. Upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, and in all the inherited places of the country. Read the whole of this context. I'm just picking out verses, but you should read the whole of the context. Chapter 36. Now here is a context which I would definitely ask you, I cannot do it because of time, to read from verse 22 right to the end of the chapter. Every verse is important. And God definitely says, I'm going to gather you back, not because you're good or because you're righteous, because of my name. Because I've sworn to do it. And I shall dishonor my name if I don't do it. I shall have broken my word. And because of that, I'm going to bring you back again. He's going to cleanse them from all your uncleanness, verse 29. A new heart will I give you, verse 26. Here's the new covenant at last put into operation. He's going to sprinkle clean water upon them, verse 25, and they are going to be clean. Verse 33, thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities. Note that. It isn't an unregenerate Israel that's going to be restored. It's a saved Israel eventually. As saved as you and I have been by the grace of God. And God is going to make the land, what he says, he's going to make it like the Garden of Eden. He's going to make it like paradise was to Adam. Verse 35, and they shall say, this land that was desolate, it's become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Believe me, the time the Gentiles have worked their way with the Jew in the land, with the constant raids and the wars and so on, there's not going to be much left. This will be literally too, that their cities will be razed to the ground. All the amount of desolation that's got to be pushed away and finally rebuilt. Well, God said, this most certainly will happen. So read that. That is a very, very important context indeed. 37th chapter. It looks as though this prophet can't leave this theme alone, because in practically every chapter he stresses this fact, although he warns them about judgment too. Chapter 37 and verse 21. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, the nations, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land, and I'll make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and there shall be no more two nations, Israel and Judah. But they shall be, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more. Verse 25, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob, my servant. Now, can you spiritualize it? You can't, of course. The land given to Jacob was that literal piece of land. God says they shall have it. Wherein your fathers have dwelt. It must be the literal land. And they shall dwell therein, even they, and their children, and their children's children, forever. This will never be reversed. Friends, have they done it? They never have. And God's word must be fulfilled. This is yet future. And David is going to be the prince. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It should be an everlasting covenant. No ifs or buts, no temporary covenant. This is going to last forever. And I will place them and multiply them, and set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. The last verse, and the heathen, the nations, shall know that I, the Lord,
do sanctify Israel when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them again for evermore. Now there's two other passages I think we've got time for. In this time in the minor prophets, turn to the prophecy of Micah. Micah. And the fourth chapter. In the day of restoration, read the first part, for instance, verse 3, he shall judge, it is the Lord, among many people, shall rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. This is armament being dealt with, friends. And obviously this is a problem that's got to be dealt with by God. With a world simply piled full of armament, what is God going to do about it in the kingdom age? Well, we don't know exactly what he's going to do, but they're all going to be made completely harmless. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Now here's peace. This is what the world wants. This is what they're trying to get by their own efforts, by their covenants and their leagues and whatnot, and never can. But it's coming. But we're told that Israel, verse 4, shall sit every man under his vine, under his fig tree, none shall make them afraid. Here it is. Poor Israel today, as we've just said, very much afraid as to what's going to happen next. None shall make them afraid in that day. Verse 6, in that day, saith the Lord, I will assemble her that halteth. I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted, and I will make her that halteth a remnant, and her that was cast off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them where? Well, in Jerusalem, in Mount Zion, from henceforth even for ever. Go back to Amos, previous prophet, in the last chapter, verse 9. Verse 12, chapter 9 rather, chapter 9 of Amos and verse 12. That they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the nations which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the ploughman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt all his blessing. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up. There it is. Once this has happened, it's the final. They will never be displaced from the land again, which I have given them, saith the Lord God. And then just one more reference in the prophecy of Zephaniah further on. Chapter 3, the prophecy of Zephaniah, verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice in heart. Verse, the last verse, I will bring you again, even the times I will gather you, and I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth when I turn back your captivity. So here is a most overwhelming testimony concerning God bringing back his people to the literal land which he's given Jacob, and it's going to be permanent. That's never happened in past history yet, and if God's word is true, and it is true, God will yet do it.